Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, sashatalks.com. Today, we're connecting from different parts of the world. I want to welcome the audience members. Before we deep dive into the latest topic, I do have a few updates that you're welcome to check out at your leisure. On sashatalks.com, I have updated the Spotlight segment that shares some of my business and lifestyle insights. And there is also another section called Style My Soul. There are professional subject matter experts from around the world that contribute their topics from lifestyle, business, living, health and wellness, spirituality. It could be tidbits, advice, or professional guidance that gets shared by global readers. So if you are a writer, an author, a journalist who has encountered being on the New York Times bestseller list, Wall Street Journal, the Amazon list, this is only one of the many accolades out there. The Pulitzer Prize winner or the Nobel Peace Prize winner, I've had the privilege of crossing paths with those that have encountered at least one of these accolades, if not a few more. If you would like to showcase your work, you are welcome to reach out to sashatalks.com. Sasha Talks does also work in partnership with the affiliate platform, Style My Soul. If you were to go there, it would be stylemysoul.com. There is a segment for Write For Us. There are rules that you could adhere to, and if you do, and your work gets published, you will be notified. There is another feature that supplements it if you are looking for PR services and you want to elevate your contribution by having your work featured. That is something for consideration. Now, if you go on the archives section of stylemysoul.com, the trending topics do vary, but in the last 4 months, I've noticed that they have remained pretty much consistent. Lifestyle, business, health and wellness, entrepreneurship, self-development, relationships, and these are relationships in all different aspects of life, which focuses on people management, personality management, self-care, food and nutrition, hobbies, fashion, travel. So on the platform, you are styling the soul metaphorically, but also in the literal sense. And if you are interested in sampling the contributions of people, most of them happen to be freelance writers. They are authors, they're business owners, they are founders, they are lawyers, doctors. They come from different walks of life. And you can also check out the demographics that among which it is very popular. That gets updated quarterly, and the latest quarter will be featured. The prior quarter will be featured in the next 2 business days. We have many wonderful contributors from North America, Australia, United Kingdom, Ireland, parts of Asia, Middle East, and Africa. And the beauty of it is it aligns and overlaps with the audiences of BBS Radio. So, food for thought. Now, today we're going to deep dive into a topic. Deep dive in a topical sense. I will just skim the topic because it is so broad. So, getting right to it will be restoration in life. Keep in mind that all content shared on Sasha Talks adheres to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. If you have any insights, recommendations, suggestions, comments, you are welcome to go to sashatalks.com. Click on the contact page, drop a hello, and share what needs to be you value to be heard. I look forward to hearing from you. I thought restoration life would be a fair topic because in the recent weeks, I've been working on different aspects of cases, and there are people who are focused on either restoring some metaphorical aspect of their life or lifestyle or a literal aspect of their life. Now, what does restoration stand for? It covers a few different genres of life, but keep in mind, for the sake of time and bandwidth, I will cover it and do my best in a dignified manner to address it topically. Restoration has to do with returning a thing. It could be a thing, a person, an opportunity to its former condition. Now, keep in mind, most of the time when people are thinking of restoration, they want to heal something. They want to restore it to a better condition. Something simple could be a flower vase. Maybe if it breaks and you just put it together for the sake of the moment to hold it up, to use it to hold flowers, you might have leisurely time later and go, no, I want to restore it properly. So it can last to ensure its longevity, to take better care of it. Sometimes it might have to do with repairing what is broken. That is where the restoration in that vase example is more appropriate. Other times it has to do with bringing a thing, a person, an opportunity back to a state of wholeness. It's a form of renewal. So you're not looking at it through the lens of an expiration date, but how can you revive it, make it better, heal it? And there are things in life that could benefit from restoration. And then there are relationships. When I bring up relationships, because life is made up of people. And in some shape or form, degrees of separation, we all are interconnected directly, indirectly, whether or not we cross paths online, offline. It's energy. Without people, how are you going to get things done? And I could segue on another topic of self-reliance, but still, in the game of life, in the journey of living life, even through a spiritual lens, you are going to coexist with people, whether you are engaged in a community or not, whether you feel you need people or not in your life. People exist for a reason. When you're thinking about spiritual restoration, it has to do with connecting with the higher power. When you're thinking about social restoration, a good example could be when there's, God forbid, a natural disaster and people come together for a good purpose to restore certain aspects of their community, to help other people out with their needs and resources. That is a relatable type of restoration. So I am going to share a few examples of restoration. And before I share that, I thought to present a few variables that could help you if you choose to restore any aspect of your life. And just because you're thinking of restoration, I don't want the listener in any corner of the world to think that there's an assumption being made that something is broken or something needs fixing, something needs healing. And that's an assumption being made. So why am I being told that I should consider restoration? As long as you're going to be living from the day that you are planted on earth till the day you transition over, there are many things that are going to go well, that are going to go great, and then there are going to be things that may go sideways. And it has nothing to do with how good of a person you are or how competent you are. Life happens when you're busy living, and we could always benefit from a little form of restoration. So this is not working off the assumption that things are broken. Keep in mind, and this is something that I've said more in the last 2 years during my speaking tour, when it comes to self-development and understanding, things break, things could benefit from fixing. People live, people may suffer, people could benefit from healing. People don't break, therefore, people do not need to be quote unquote fixed. Because oftentimes I cross paths with people, whether it comes in business conversations or personal conversations where people seek out certain types of services that I offer. And they talk about people as they are things that you put on a shelf that break and they need to be fixed. And often people who fixate on fixing other people are the ones who need a lot of healing. And they wonder why they are struggling with making progress in certain relationships or bringing healing, restoration to situations. Because either you're part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And until you reach a point where you believe that it might be a good idea to be part of the solution, you may encounter feeling frustration, burnt out, being misunderstood, taking on fatigue, burnout. It's a long list of side effects. And the more you cling on to this notion of being right and scorekeeping and this crazy world of virtue signaling, you're going to suffer. Human beings may suffer. It might be due to their lifestyle choices or things that happen out of their control, but you have the choice to heal. People don't break, so they don't need to be quote unquote fixed. Keep that in mind. If there's any takeaway from today's engagement, remember, things break, things could be fixed. People may suffer, they could benefit from healing. Don't mix people and things up because that will complicate your life. So if you are serious about any form of restoration in your life, I recommend to think about your intention. When you set an intention, you're aligning with a varying degree of focus. This helps the mind, or else you're going to feel like you're flying a kite into open air and you don't know what direction it's going in, and you might end up going for that ride. It's similar to when I say, are you walking the dog or is the dog walking you? Set an intention. Think about it. Don't rush yourself if you're serious about securing viable results. Focus. And this is important for the mind because the mind could take you in all different roller coaster rides that are not necessary. So don't get in your own way and make your own journey harder than it is. The second I would say is have a desire. The desire has to come from the heart. Your willingness to engage in the restoration, because you could talk yourself into it mentally one day, and then the next morning you might wake up and you go, you know what, I changed my mind. So if the desire is there, it's much helpful in helping you proceed with the next step, with the willingness to seek what should take place next. The third you might think might be counterintuitive, but patience. Not everyone is born with patience. It's okay. You don't have to treat it as you were a victim. Well, I don't have it, so X, Y, and Z happens. Poor me. You need to get out of the victimhood mindset because there's nothing good about it. It's not about patience. Patience should not be treated as a destination. It is what do you do while you are waiting for the events to unfold? Part of these events are going to unfold on your time because you are part of the solution. And you're not going to be passive about it, depending on the context of your challenge. At the same time, you have to develop a certain degree of trust because patience is a type of spiritual maturity. And many people that initially crossed paths with me once upon a time lack that. And it's part of self-development. It's okay. Everybody starts off with some baseline, but you could become healthier in that department. The type of clients that I've worked with, whether they're organizations, groups of people, or individuals, are those that have developed a certain degree of patience. And in that process, you learn who you are, what are your negotiables, your non-negotiables. In what type of environments do you thrive? And in what type of environments do you find yourself emotionally, mentally, and possibly even physically closing up because there's this type of resistance? Who are the type of people that help support your growth? And by that, I don't mean that they're babysitting you. Everybody has their own burden to carry, but you're around like-minded people. That ties into the patience, because I know patience is a very broad web of a topic to cover today. But if you lack the patience, you want to start somewhere. And when you're working on restoration, don't treat it like clockwork that by a certain date and a certain time, you should be all brand new in any essence that you're focusing on. This is not about timing, it's about readiness. And until you become ready, time will keep passing by, but your situation, your desires will remain in a state of transition where they're not materializing, they're just there. And it's okay if you wake up one morning and you go, I've outgrown some of my desires, and I no longer am the same person who could align with the relationships, with the opportunities, with the environment that helped you thrive once upon a time. You graduated from it. You outgrew it for one reason or another. But the fact that you outgrew it lets us know you outgrew it in a good way, not that you were regressing and you just ended up down a whole nother dark road. We're talking about growth. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about learning. And this also impacts your life outlook. It's an opportunity for you to refine your time management skills. On one hand, I'm saying don't treat it as clockwork. On the other hand, I'm saying manage your time well. You're never going to get your time back. Who are you investing your time in? If you happen to work, are you doing the type of work that is helping you move along? Whether it has to do with putting food on the table and taking care of bills, or also helping you elevate your state of professional growth, you know what your end goals are. And if you don't, it's okay. Give yourself grace, but don't just make up stuff for the sake of making it up. I highly recommend that you sort out what works best for you, because when you don't know who you are, everybody else is going to start planting and projecting what you should be doing. And just because things sound right or they feel good in the moment, not everything that feels good is technically good for us. Not everything that sounds well in that moment in time may be good for you or any one of us. So this is not about me sitting on a throne and sharing insights. I am among the people, and I bring some of my life lessons to the table when it is appropriate to share. So focusing on emotional restoration, some people may be healing from past trauma. It could be burnout. I've gone through burnout. This was decades ago. And when I look back, I realize I should have been kinder to my physical body. I should have been kinder to my mind. And that was a lesson learned, because health is wealth. And I know it sounds very cliche, but until you find yourself in a situation where you're planning your entire life around something that puts you out of commission temporarily, fortunately, in a season of life, you're more vigilant about that. Restoration did happen, fortunately. I did learn from it, and I have not revisited that season of life. Another form of emotional restoration could be learning how to breathe joy in your life. I describe joy as the sun. Whether the sun comes out and you see it, or the sun is hiding behind the clouds and you don't see it, joy is a form of constant. And I consider happiness to be like the sun. Some days it's going to be out. You're going to be feeling it, and other days, it might not come out, but it's part of the human life experience. For some, it might be learning how to trust. People trust people to the degree that they trust themselves. And then there's always going to be that other category of people that I do not work with that fall under victimhood. They'll project their angst onto practitioners, saying, well, you have trust issues, you don't trust people. It's emotional manipulation. Those people have to figure themselves out. Their job is to restore themselves. It's not other people's job to pour into them if you value your time and your resources. Emotional restoration could also be a form of self-compassion. It's easier for people to be kinder to others and at times to be compassionate. Those are two separate things. But how often are you compassionate towards yourself? Sometimes people find it much easier to forgive a stranger than to forgive themselves when they feel that something needs forgiving. Then there's physical restoration that overlaps with your health and wellness, your physical body. For example, I just crossed paths with a professional that I've known for quite a long time, and they had injured themselves. And fortunately, they made a recovery, and most of the time was spent in their restoration. Some aspects of restoration has a prescribed time. Then there are other aspects of restoration. It's open-ended. You do not know if it will materialize if it involves more than one person. Let's say if you are focusing on restoring a possible relationship. And when I use the term relationship in my work, it has to do with relationships among people, not necessarily romance, lust, and all of the crazy stuff in the social culture that people automatically jump onto. Restoration comes down to how people focus on it, but they might not know that they're actually focusing on restoration is by how well they rest. What nutrition do they take in to nurture their body? Do they move their body? Do they exercise? Exercise could come in all different forms. You don't have to be at the gym. You could just walk outside and enjoy a 20-minute walk. You could define the terms of restoration. As long as they are sensible, they make sense, and you're not imposing outcomes onto people. When you force any form of restoration in your life or other people's life, it will not last. Does not matter. This has nothing to do with how much money you invest. It has nothing to do with who you know or what your titles are or anything regarding your economic status or the strata that you come from. These are some of the basic laws of nature and common sense. And no one is immune from them. Next, spiritual restoration, connecting with your higher power, with your creator, reconnecting with your purpose. That's something very beautiful over the course of Sasha Talk's existence. The amount of people that I've interviewed, men and women coming from different occupational fields, and some of them did not even have occupations, but they were engaged in very complementary work out there that allowed us to cross paths. And they have shared that they started out on a certain path that brought them happiness. But then they slowed down and started reflecting upon maybe changing career fields or changing their life track to welcome joy because they were aligning with their purpose. And you don't find your purpose and then you live your life. You may discover your purpose while living your life, which is one of the things that happened for me. You don't want to just stand there before the life marathon begins and have all the answers. That's defeats the whole point of running through the life marathon, walking through it, crawling through it. As long as you are moving through it, you will discover it. But remember, you have to go seeking it. And that's why I tell people, be careful what you go looking for, because sooner or later, you will find it. And that doesn't mean that you're looking for the right thing, that you're gonna like it. In fact, when people go looking for trouble, they will always find it and complicate their lives more. You have to strike that balance between having the desire to know the right things for the right reasons versus just wanting to know things, because that invites all unnecessary energy of things, people, and opportunities that have nothing to do with you. And it may not even be in alignment with who you are or who you are to become. That's why there are many misguided people. And misguided doesn't mean that's a bad thing, but when people become misguided, they have to sort out how to get back on track. Most of them may recognize something is not right, but they can't put a finger on it. That's why I always say, pay attention to your mind, your heart, and your body. You want things to be moving in alignment. You don't want your physical body to show up in one environment. Your mind is somewhere else, and your heart is somewhere else. The heart should always belong to you. Moving along to mental restoration, this is where you could break free from anxiety, overthinking. Overthinking as a lifestyle is not good. That will eat up a lot of your energy. That is something you would need to work on, and I highly recommend it because once you overcome those behaviors, and remember, the thing about behaviors is that we could break the behaviors over a period of time, but it takes practice, commitment, and consistency. Just like you could embrace healthy behaviors, as long as they are in moderation, they are healthy. There's no real reward for overthinking other than just exhausting yourself. Some people fall under paralysis analysis, and then they also take on these negative feedback loops in their mind that play out in their heart and then in the physical because they may not take any action to bring their goals, their desires to fruition. You want to restore your mind by cleaning out the clutter. Some people clean out the physical clutter to help clean out the mental clutter. Remember, if everything is energy, every thought thing that surrounds you, whether it's in your virtual reality, your physical reality. It could be in your closet. It could be where you live. It could be something just taking up a lot of bandwidth in your mind and heart. And if it has no return on investment, it may be a good idea to start auditing your life. You will be surprised how much time, energy, space, and in some cases, even money that you will get back. That's a form of restoration. I did talk about relational, and I alluded to the whole notion of relationships. It is recommended that you set new standards for connecting with people. If you don't set new standards and you're seeking healing in relationships, that could also be relevant with other relationships you have in your life. It doesn't matter if it's family, friends, personal, professional, acquaintanceship, being part of a community, belonging to a group, whether it's professional or a social group. Have standards for connecting with people. When individuals start complaining that certain relationships or their engagements are not reciprocal, I often ask them, what are your standards for welcoming people? And what are your standards that you set when you engage with people? You may not necessarily bring them into your personal life, but there is a certain degree of coexistence that we all engage in with our day-to-day life obligations. Now, the ones who have very clear boundaries, if you lack them, and you learn of some people of how they manage their boundaries, you might go, oh, this person is not nice, or that's too harsh. That's not too harsh for them because it works for them. They're not mean people. They have self-respect. They have self-esteem. They know what their negotiables are. They know what their boundaries are. And it's all great to hear and have people talk about they have standards. A lot of people who talk that they have standards do not enforce them, and then they wonder why they are struggling in various aspects of their life. So before you start projecting all these quote unquote expectations, set standards for yourself, work towards them, and then in the process, figure out what aligns with what your needs are, and then take it from there. And not everyone's standards are going to be the same. So don't compare yourself to another family member. Don't compare yourself to another friend. Don't compare yourself to your partner. Everybody has different life experiences for why they set certain standards. There might be overlap of values, excuse me, but sometimes it's not the restoration needed in with relationships around you. Sometimes the restoration is needed within you to understand who are you, what is your purpose, and figure out what values do you actually practice and what you may need to embrace to bring a healthy degree of balance into your life. And you have to define what balance is. Balance for one person might be completely different than another. You can't treat it like a math formula and just plug in stuff because it worked for another person. We're talking about you and your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. And another note, my last note on the relational restoration would be you need to know when to let go of toxic people. You need to know when to let go of toxic environments. A lot of times people talk about, I need to meet people, and they're often focused on where they should go instead of focusing on developing a mindset that aligns with your higher purpose. If you seek out places that align with your hobbies, with your interests, with your values, you are more likely to attract similar-minded people, for better or worse, because I don't know what your values are. Everybody's values are different. And just because values is often correlated with positivity, people may have values, but not everybody practices them. So make sure before you go seeking out solutions that you, at a minimum, there's some degree of alignment within you before you go healing, because people could engage in rhetoric saying that they're healed, but they're still exhibiting very loud and clear alarms of suffering. And in the day-to-day life, there would be other types of restoration. I just had a client who dropped by and they were talking about restoration of a thing had to do with their home. They were waiting for their home to be restored to a state of being brand new. So I'm going to close things up, but I want to share some food for thought. Think about what type of transformation that you are seeking in your life. And there's nothing wrong if you're seeking a transformation with something that you own, like a thing, or maybe it might be developing a certain degree of a virtue, a characteristic within you that you already have, but you don't get to exercise it enough. So you will challenge yourself to bring that out in your day-to-day life by applying it and healing. Where can you, as an individual, this is just a rhetorical question, benefit from healing? The healing may not necessarily involve another person, another group. It might just be healing within yourself because you give so much of yourself to people around you that you do not take a time out to restore your energy, your mental sanity, your emotional stability. That doesn't mean you're unstable to begin, but it just means that when we are pulled in all different directions and all of life circumstances demand different reactions and responses, Sometimes when we're not paying attention, we just end up engaging. And is life just happening to you, or are you taking control of your life and control in a healthy manner? So you're not falling prey to victimhood, because Sasha does not RSVP to those victim brigades, but I will be there to help those that are willing to help themselves. I will leave you on that note. If you have any personal anecdotes, insights, recommended topics that you might want to hear and see on the SashaTalks.com platform, consider dropping a hello by going to the contact page. If you are someone who enjoys blogging, writing, and you want to get your own name out or showcase your portfolio, there is an opportunity to do that. You can learn about that by going to stylemysoul.com. There is an editorial panel that does review submissions. And my healthy and friendly tip would be don't use AI, because a lot of the AI submissions they don't make it all the way through the editorial process. And if you are looking for elevating your message through a PR campaign, then there will be somebody who will reach out to you for that. But until next time, I want everyone to take good care of themselves. And if there's any takeaway, and I know I have repeated this and I don't like to repeat it, but the only way some people learn is they hear it again. Things break, things could get fixed. People, human beings, do not break. They are resilient. Human beings, we people, may suffer now and then, and people could benefit from healing. So if there's anything that you take away, make sure you don't mix things and people up. And if that could simplify any human being's life out there today, I feel I have done a little bit of good in the world today. I wish everyone a blessed week. And until next time, be good, be safe, and be blessed.